excited. Happy Mother's Day. Can you? Oh, come on, church. I want to tell you something. I am used to teaching youth and children, not adults, okay? So I'm used to them talking to me, and I'm used to movement, you know, like, you know, people are sitting on, I'm not getting underneath the chair, and would you stop, you know, doing spitballs there, and sit still. You know, I'm used to activity, so please don't sit there today like a bunch of dead dogs, okay? I want you to be alive. I want you to, amen. I want you to be alive today, amen? Christians are supposed to be happy people. And full of life. But right now, we want to honor all of our mothers. So I would like all of our moms and grandmoms to stand up. And we want to say thank you so much for everything that you've done for us, for everything that you've done for your children, the sacrifices made. And the children are going to pass out a carnation.
Happy Mother's Day. Listen, we asked the kids why they thought God made moms. All right, DJ, why do you think God created moms?
I think God created moms so we can have people on the earth.
Like, help us. Like, they can make us dinner or lunch and breakfast, like pancakes, waffles, like just breakfast, dinner, and stuff.
Well, I'm coming to your house. Gigi, why do you think God created moms?
Because you love her.
Oh, so you could love her? Aw. Can you say Happy Mother's Day?
Happy Mother's Day.
Lewis, why do you think God created moms?
Because Adam needed a companion.
Oh, that's a good reason. Why do you think God created your mom?
So they can feed us and help us.
Oh, and help you when you throw up? Oh. Is that what the blah was? So, Zach, it's Mother's Day. Why do you think God made moms?
Well, I believe God made moms for them to be a mother, obviously motherly figure in your life, so to help you grow wise as you grow up and stuff and take care of you and stuff, because without your mom, you, I don't think you would be alive.
Well, you've got a new addition to your family, new brother. And how many kids do you guys have in your family?
Nine.
That's awesome. What a tribe. What an awesome tribe. Can you just say Happy Mother's Day, Mom?
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Love you.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Why do you think God put moms on the earth?
To take care of us.
And what else? Why do you think?
To like have our back if we're like
bad or something. That's awesome. Do you think your mom is your biggest cheerleader? That's right. Can you say Happy Mother's Day, Mom? Hi, Grace. Why do you think God made mothers?
To lead us in a good path and make sure we do right or wrong.
That is a very good reason. Awesome. Can you tell your mom Happy Mother's Day?
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
I love you, Mama. Say Mama really loud.
Mama.
Happy Mother's Day.
Catalina, can you tell me what is the most favorite thing that your mom makes for you?
Chicken and rice.
Chicken and rice. And what is your favorite thing that you get to do with your mom?
Spend time with her.
Spend time with her. That's special, isn't it? Awesome. So, girls, can you tell me, why do you think God made moms? That's awesome. And what is your most favorite thing that you get to do with your mom?
Taking to my
soccer games. That's awesome. And what is your favorite thing that your mom makes for you? Does she cook?
Well, no.
I love that.
McDonald's.
Happy Mother's Day.
So, Bella, why do you think God made moms?
So I could love her.
Happy Mother's Day. Listen, we also asked the kids what their favorite mom sayings were. Here you go.
Clean your room.
Don't eat snacks until dinner's ready.
If the dog poops, I'm going to rub your nose in it.
Because you didn't take him out in time.
Yeah. Did you take the trash out?
Before you play with your friends, clean your room.
Eat your vegetables!
Do I look like one of your little friends?
Comb your hair!
Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'll tell you, some of you guys, if you knew what their prayer requests were in children's church. Oh, we're going to play it again. How are you guys today? Can we just pray for a second? Father, we just thank you, Lord, and we just give you the rest of the service. And I thank you, God, that in spite of all the craziness, that you're still here and that you love us so much. I pray, God, that you would touch the hearts of your people today. And I pray, Lord, that you would use me as your mouthpiece. I just pray for your anointing right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, listen, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes. You know, when you get to speak on Mother's Day, you have to tie in mothers somehow. And so I'm gonna try to do this. The first service, I've cut some stuff out so you guys get to have a little bit more of the big picture. But I want to talk to you for a few minutes about that God wants to use you to accomplish his great plans. Now, God doesn't need us to do anything, but he wants and he chooses to use us. We're his hands and his mouth, his voice, and his feet on this earth. But I want you to say, now again, because let's go ahead and dismiss the children. See, thank you, Matthew, for running across and reminding me. All the children, if you have children all the way through 12 years old, you can meet Miss Melissa back there. She's waving her hands in the air. Like she just doesn't care, but she does. So, now remember, I'm used to teaching kids, so I need you to talk back to me, okay? I need you to smile at me, all right? So I want you to repeat after me, say, I am part of God's great plans. Now, that's our big idea today. That's what we would say up in kids' church, right? I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you are part of God's great plan. I want you to say it one more time to yourself, and I want you to say it like you mean it. I am part of God's great plan. I want to take just a look. I'm going to kind of skim through a few of the moms in the Bible. And, you know,
a lot of things started with moms. You know, I look at, Brother Gerald, I look at Moses. If it wasn't Moses' mom that hid him, you know, for a time, he would have been killed. Also, I think about Moses' mom, how she trusted God to put that beautiful baby in a basket and put that basket in a crocodile-infested water. But you know what? God took that basket and orchestrated that basket and directed that basket to go right at the right time, right when Pharaoh's daughter was taking a bath. Put that basket. Everybody said, don't miss your moment. Listen, there's moments in time that God nudges you to do things. And you can either obey or you could disobey. But the title of my message this morning is, don't miss your moment. You know, Smith Wigglesworth was asked one time why he thought there were so many miracles that flowed through him. And he said, I felt the slightest nudging of the Holy Spirit, and I turned immediately and obeyed. How many times do we miss those nudgings? You know, so you look at Moses. His mom put him in a basket. That started it. But look at God used him to deliver the children of Israel from the grasp of Egypt. Wow. It was the little things. Then let's take a look at Jacob with his mother Rebecca. Now we know Jacob was a trickster. You know, he did some things that, you know, weren't always on the up and up. But you know what? He learned some of that from being in the kitchen with his mom. But it was his mom that got him out of the kitchen. Read it in the Word. You know, she talked him into going and stealing the blessing from Esau. And after that, Esau was out to kill him. It got him out of the kitchen. It got him out to set him up to do what God had called him to do. He was the father of the birth of a nation. Started with a mom. I'm going to camp a little bit on another mom in the Bible. You find her in Ruth chapter 1 through 4. And I want to challenge you today to, when you go home today, sometime today, read the whole book of Ruth. It's a short book. There's only 4 chapters. It'll take you about 15 minutes to do it. And I believe that God is going to speak to you and give you revelation of that. I would like to first set it up that Naomi and her husband, they were living in a time where there was famine in the land. So Naomi's husband, and they decided to move to Moab to stay there for a while because of the famine. And they had their 2 boys with them. And while they were there, Naomi's husband passes away. And they're there about 10 years, and her two sons marry Moabite women, foreigners. Everybody say, yikes. But it actually turned out pretty good. It actually, because she was a foreigner, it actually got her a husband named Moab. I'll tell you about that in just a second. But they're there for about 10 years, and finally she hears that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food. So Naomi prepared her daughters, and they started the long journey back. And as they set out on the road that would take them back to Judah, the Bible doesn't say that she stopped. But when I read the Bible, I like to picture things. I like to, like, put myself in the picture. I can just see her stopping and saying, okay, girls, listen. I know that I'm so blessed to have you here with me. You know, I love this. This is wonderful. And I believe more than anything that Naomi, over those 10 years, did some incredible impartation to those girls. Changed their lives. I believe that you know, she spoke so much truth into them because they were along with her. But she stopped and she said, you know what? Listen, I'm old. I'm not going to have another husband. And even if I did and I had children, I had a son right now, you know, would you wait until he grew up so that you can marry him? Listen, go back to your mother's. Go back to your mother's house. You're young. Go back and do reset. Hit a reset button and go start over. And they were weeping. And one of the daughter-in-laws, Orpah, she went back, and the Bible said that she was weeping. So there was a good relationship there. But I want to read to you what happened with Ruth. Ruth
In Ruth 1, verse 16, it says, but Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you from me. Everybody say, where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I will stay. You can be louder than that. Your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. Listen, Naomi had imparted great things into Ruth. She was willing to leave her land and go to another land where she would be a foreigner. Foreigners back then, they weren't treated the same way. But she was willing to leave everything that she knew, her family, everything, and go with Naomi and to start over. And as they get into Bethlehem, the Bible says that the whole town was stirred. Now, I think about that. Now, back then in Bible day, your name meant something. Your name had a meaning. And Naomi's name meant pleasant or sweet. So, you know, I think about that. Wow, see, again, I picture things. Here's Naomi. She comes into the town, and the town gets stirred because she's back. Wow, Naomi's back. I mean, she must have had a lot of friends. You know, again, her sweet disposition and her pleasantness. Wow, Naomi's back. And here's Naomi. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Because she went away and she was filled. But while she was in Moab, she was broken. And she came back empty. She said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, which means bitterness. But you know what? God saw her. God saw what she had done. And when they arrived in Bethlehem, again, don't miss your moment. You know, she went there at the right time. It was the beginning of the barley harvest. God is amazing, isn't he? So Ruth is talking to Naomi one day, and she's like, you know, I don't know what she called her, but I'll just call her Naomi. Naomi, I'm going to go glean in some of the fields and try to get us some food. You know, I'm sure they were hungry. So, you know, Ruth told her to go ahead, and she went to glean in the field of Boaz, not knowing that he was from the clan of Elimelech, Naomi's husband. Again, God's orchestrating these little things to set up for something big. And as she's gleaning, Boaz notices her, and she finds favor in his eyes. And she even asks him, how is it, me a foreigner, that you notice me? And this is what he said. I've heard about everything you've done for your mother-in-law. She had good report. Man, it got around. She served her mother-in-law. She was with her. That's what turned his head. And you know what? It was actually because she was a foreigner that she became Boaz's wife. Read it in Ruth 3 and 4. See, because Boaz wasn't the closest kin, there was another. So Boaz had to go to him and say, you know, you're the kinsman redeemer. What you have the option to buy Naomi's land. And he's like, I'll do it. And he said, and when you do that, you're going to inherit, you know, one of the wives who's a foreigner. Oh, forget it. Stop. Nope. Forget it. You can do it. So here, her being a foreigner is what set her up to marry Boaz. And there's so much with the story of Boaz. I'm not going to go into that today because I'm not teaching on marriage and husbands and all that. I'm teaching on moms. And so go back and read all that because, you know, I'll tell you, it's amazing. God intended Ruth to be a part of the story of the lineage of Jesus. He pulled together events such as a famine, Naomi's relocation to Moab, their return to Bethlehem, Boaz's bloodline, and many other events, just to ensure that Ruth could be part of his big plan. And God is doing the same thing in our lives today. Amen? Amen? You know, I want to talk to you for just a moment, because I think what the church is like. the church is lacking is spiritual moms and dads. And I'm going to tell you where some of it started to shift. I'm praying that I have another time to speak to you at depth, more in depth on this subject, because I really, it's a passion of mine right now. And what happened a few years ago, maybe 10 years ago, the smartphones were developed. Okay, now we know we've had phones, but I'm talking about the smartphones. And what happened during that time is there was a shift between the parents teaching the children and the children teaching, and it shifted to the children teaching the parents. What happened is we handed our phone over to our children and said, here, can you, I don't know how to do Instagram. Can you show me how to send a picture? I don't know how to text. How do I do this and this and that, 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 that? But you know what they're thinking in their mind? You're stupid. I can't believe you know how to do this. Seriously, if you would sit down with some of them and ask them gut-wrenching questions, that's their mindset. So now things have shifted. Young people don't listen to the elderly people as much as they used to. See, a grandparent's voice in children's lives was such a loud voice 20 years ago. Now most of them don't spend time with their grandparents because they're too busy. Just like us. And I'm not going to camp on that. Like I said, that's another message for another time. But the church needs spiritual moms and dads. I need spiritual moms and dads in my life. All throughout my life, all throughout my walk with the Lord, I always tried to find people that were older than me, that loved God more than me, that knew more about the Bible than me, people that would speak truth into my life and not just speak what I wanted to hear. I surrounded myself with people like Carl and Jean Shelley. Oh my goodness, I miss them so much. Carl went home to be with the Lord a few years back. Jean is still here. But I'm going to tell you, they were so influential in my life. People like Helen Beeson and Pastor Jeanette, and in recent years, Jeannie Mayo. People like Barbara Waders White sitting over there that has spoken so much truth in my life. Not telling me what I want to hear, but telling me what I need to hear. We need spiritual moms and dads that will tell the stories, that will give testimonies, and older generation, and I'm kind of getting, I'm into that generation now. I turned 60 in February. I couldn't believe it myself. I was kind of freaked out a little bit about it. And then I'm still doing youth and kids. Now I'm like, I'm 60, I'm still a kids pastor. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you, see, God has a sense of humor. Amen? See, I got myself sidetracked, but listen, we can glean from the younger generation. There's so much wisdom there. This generation, when they get a hold of God, I'm going to tell you what, they're going to bust through things that we have prayed for. But they're going to bust through it because there's such a call and such an anointing on their life. But they need you. And we need them. Amen? So I'm so thankful for the spiritual moms that God's placed in your life, in our lives. And, you know, maybe today you're sitting there today and saying, Pastor Sue, I hate Mother's Day. I didn't even want to come to church today because I've never been able to have children. I'm so sorry. I am. But I will tell you, it is the most incredible thing to be a spiritual mom to somebody. God is sending people in your life that you're going to be able to speak truth and speak things to and help them. It is one of the greatest honors to be a spiritual mom or be a spiritual dad. Amen? I want to ask you how you will be known. What kind of mark are you leaving on the people around you? And Pastor John, if you could come out, he's going to be my music behind my story today. We'll see how well he does, how he flows here. I want to read a story to you. This is a true story. It's a story about an elementary teacher. And her name was Mrs. Thompson. And as she stood in front of her fifth grade class on the very first day of school, she told the children a lie. Like most teachers, she looked at her students and said she loved them all the same. But that was impossible because there in the front row, slumped in the seat, was a little boy named Teddy Starr. Mrs. Thompson had watched Teddy the year before and had noticed that he didn't play well with the other children, that his clothes were always messy and most of the time he needed a bath. And Teddy could be very unpleasant. It got to the point where Mrs. Thompson would actually take delight in marking his papers with a broad red pen, making a big X, and then putting a big fat X on the top of his papers. At the school where Mrs. Thompson taught, she was required to review each child's past records, and she put Teddy's off to be last. However, when she reviewed his file, she was in for a huge surprise. Teddy's first grade teacher wrote, "Teddy's a bright child with a ready laugh. He does his work neatly and has good manners. He is a joy to be around." His second grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is an excellent student, well-liked by his classmates, but he's troubled because his mother has a terminal illness and life at home must be a struggle." Teddy's third grade teacher wrote, "His mother's death has been hard on him. He tries to do his best, but his father doesn't show much interest, and his home life will soon affect him if steps aren't taken." Oh, Teddy's fourth grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is withdrawn and doesn't show much interest in school. He doesn't have many friends, and sometimes he sleeps in class." By now, Mrs. Thompson realized the problem, and she was ashamed of herself. She felt even worse when her students brought Christmas presents wrapped in beautiful ribbon and bright colored paper, except for Teddy's. His present was clumsily wrapped in a heavy brown paper that he got from the grocery store. Mrs. Thompson took great pains to open his in the middle of all the other presents. And some of the children started to laugh when she found a rhinestone bracelet with a lot of the stones missing and a bottle of perfume that was not used. She stifled the children's laughter when she exclaimed, "Oh, how beautiful the bracelet was," as she put it on. And she dabbed the perfume on her neck. Teddy Stoddard stayed after school that day just long enough to say to Mrs. Thompson, "Today, Mrs. Thompson, you smell just like my mom did." After the children laughed, she cried. On that very day, she quit teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic, and instead, she began to teach children. Mrs. Thompson paid particular care and attention to Teddy. As she worked with him, his mind seemed to come alive. The more she encouraged him, the faster he responded. And by the end of the year, Teddy was one of the smartest children in the class. And despite her lie that she would love all the children the same, Teddy became one of her favorites. A year later, she found a note under her door. It was from Teddy telling her that she was still the best teacher he had ever had in his whole life. 6 years went by, and she got another note from Teddy. He had then wrote that he had finished high school third in his class, and she wanted her to know that she was still his most favorite teacher in his whole life. 4 years after that, another letter came. See, there was no text messages back then yet. Saying that while things had been tough at times, he stayed in school and he stuck with it. And he would soon graduate from college with the highest of honors. And he assured Mrs. Thompson that she was still the best and favorite teacher he had ever had in his whole life. Then 4 more years passed, and yet another letter came. This time he explained that he had gotten his bachelor's degree, and he decided to go a little further. The letter explained that she was still his favorite teacher, but now his name was a little longer. The letter was signed, Theodore S. Stoddard, M.D. The story doesn't end there. You see, there was yet another letter that spring. Teddy said he had met a girl, and he was going to be married. And he explained that his father had passed away a few years earlier, and he was wondering if Mrs. Thompson might agree to sit in the place at the wedding that was usually reserved for the mother of the groom. Of course, Mrs. Thompson did. And guess what? She wore that bracelet. with the several rhinestones missing, and she wore that perfume. They hugged each other, and Dr. Stoddard whispered in Mrs. Thompson's ear, "Thank you, Mrs. Thompson, for believing in me. Thank you so much for making me feel important and showing me that I can make a difference." Mrs. Thompson, with tears in her eyes, whispered back. She said, "Oh, Teddy, you have it all wrong. You are the one who taught me that I could make a difference. I didn't know how to teach until I met you." Church, God's called us to more. And you know, I'm just as guilty, but life can get so crazy and so busy. We can get so selfish that all we care about is our own comfort. But I'm telling you, there's a world out there that needs you. There's people that are sitting around you here that need you, that need your voice in their life. We have a family in our church. When you see the video, you'll recognize them. They've not been able to come to church for almost a year because one of their little girls has leukemia. They were able to come to church for a few weeks until the doctors found out, and they were freaked out by it because of her immune system. But this is a family that loves Jesus. I stay pretty close to them. I bring the kids Happy Meals and popsicles, and I'll stop by and just check on and call. But man, what would it be if some of you would send a card or call and say, "Man, we miss you. We love you. We want you to know that during these hard times, your church family's around you." But church, we can't stop being so busy. And our lives so tied up that we forget the people that are around us. I want to show you this.
Family Church, we miss you so much. We can't wait to see you again. Hopefully very soon. Miss Caitlin's doing wonderful. She's making through treatment so wonderful. We've just entered maintenance phase. Such a wonderful time, which means that she is getting ready to come out and see the whole big world once again.
I want to come back to church. Guess what? I'm the fastest runner.
Awesome.
Hi, Caitlin. How are you? We've been praying for you.
Hello.
We love you so much.
Amen. That's Miss Bonnie. Many of you knew her dad, Vance, that has served here for so many years. Bonnie's a lovely mom. She loves her children so dearly. So keep them in prayer. And, you know, how about some of our shut-ins? Maybe they're not even able, they don't have the capability of live streaming. Or there's some people that you haven't seen around because maybe they can't take the chance of coming in contact with people that have COVID. Church, what I'm trying to say to you today is that we need to start listening to the nudging of the Holy Spirit and to obey and to do what he's telling us to do. I don't know about you, but I know that there's times, even in my own life, that I can get so busy here at church that I'm walking through because, you know, I've got three teachers that called out, and, you know, it's Sunday morning, we're trying to do this, and one of you will say, "Hi, Pastor Sue. You know, I'm gonna make a choice to do better, to make that stop, and to say, I'm doing great. How about you?" We need to take time for each other. Amen? See, some of us, our hearts need to be uncapped again, and those wells need to be redug. That's a whole other message, too. But you know what? I'm going to challenge you today, to not miss your moment. God wants to use you to shine in people's lives. I want you to watch this short video clip. tell you, when we let God's light shine, the light of Jesus shine through us, we are a magnet to people. Amen? People will be drawn to you and they won't even understand or realize why they're being drawn to you. But I'll tell you, you have to get out there. You have to start living your life on purpose. You need to live your life seeing things in different eyes. When you go to the grocery store not just with your list of bread and milk and eggs, but go on purpose and say, you know, God, help me, Lord, to smile at people today. You know, there's times I wear a mask in a store and there's times I don't, but there's times that I'll pull my mask down just to smile. You know, I try to smile with my eyes, but, you know, we live in a world, church, that we need to be connected with people. And in this season of COVID, what COVID has tried to do is sever that, to sever connections with people. Listen, as a church, we need to rise up and reconnect. Listen, it's something we can't do on our own. If you're in the grocery store, like I said, smile at people. If the Holy Spirit nudges you to pray for somebody, pray for somebody. Maybe God will nudge you to do, you know, yesterday we were in Goodwill, and this is kind of a fail. I wish I could say it was a great testimony that, wow, we really heard from God and we did the right thing. I believe that Pastor John did part of it, and I'm not calling him out, but I'm using him as an example. I'm sorry, honey. I love you. But we were in Goodwill yesterday. We were in Goodwill yesterday, and he witnessed a young man stealing a couple pairs of shorts and put them in his bag. And Pastor John went up to him and said, if you put those back, I won't turn you in. And as we were talking about it afterwards, I'm like, man, we missed it. Because I'm studying. I'm getting this message ready, right? And I'm like, we missed our moment. You should have said, okay, give me those two pairs of shorts out of your bag, and I'm going to go pay for them. And I'm not.
You have all the money.
I know. Praise the Lord. But I'm like, mute his mic, okay? That's what my son used to do to me. I would tell stories about him, and all of a sudden, he was doing sound back there, and he'd mute my mic. I'm like, he'd say, and he'd go from the sound booth, stop telling stories about me. But he gave me such great material, you know? John, you give me good material. But anyway, listen, the reason I tell you that is how many times do we miss that moment? You know, look at Moses, Moses' mom. She hid that baby, and that baby had destiny in him. Look at Ruth, being the lineage of Jesus. There's so many stories that you can go back through the Bible where you could see little things on how God used all those little things to accomplish this great plan. I want to encourage you today to let the Holy Spirit open up your eyes again, to open up your heart again, to open up your ears again, and to uncap those wells that are in you. Pastor John's going to come and he's going to sing a special. And as he's doing that, I'm opening up the altars. And what I'm opening up the altars for is for you to come forward as an act of obedience and saying, God, I don't want to miss my moment. I want to be used in this hour. I want to be connected to people. I want to know your heart, God. So that's going to be orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Pastor John.
Thank you.
each person that's here today. I pray, Father God, that you would open up our eyes and open up our ears. God, I pray, God, that we would begin to feel your heart, God, your heart for the lost. I pray, God, that you would give people opportunity to share testimonies, God. I pray, God, that you would open up doors, God, for our young people to share with our elderly congregation, our elderly family. And God, that our elderly family would have an open door to speak to our younger people. God, I pray for those in our church right now that feel like they're not connected, that are longing for a spiritual mom or spiritual dad. God, I pray for divine connections. Church, I want to leave you with this. It's so important, those moments, for you to be obedient. It's like a birthday present. A birthday present holds weight when it's your birthday. But if somebody gives you a birthday present a couple weeks later, it's nice, but it doesn't carry the same weight. Your obedience is so important. So be obedient to what God's called you to do. It's no longer, it's not vacation time anymore. There's a world out there that we're going to come, and they need us. We don't have to go sit on the street corners and start screaming. If we were to die today, we're going to go to heaven or hell. It's just going out there and showing Jesus love for your life. Loving on people. Meeting needs. Some of our shut-ins, and if you want to be connected to some of them, say